You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, December 22nd, 2023. The year is almost done, and you're listening to me, Grandpa Dan, streaming at RadioAlbion.com, wrapping up your work weekend. Honestly, we're just almost wrapping up the year. It'll be Christmas come Monday. I do plan to have something up for Christmas Day. I'll have a plan to have a Daily Nationalist show up for y'all for Christmas. I know you probably won't get a chance to listen to it on Christmas Day, but I will try to have something, and I'm probably going to do something different. I haven't decided yet. I'm rolling it around in the back of my mind, the deep recesses of my mind. But I'm probably going to do some sort of Christmas edition, maybe, of the Daily Nationalist. May find a story, may not do a story. I don't know. Don't know what I'm going to do with that. But we will do something, and I hope you will at some point get a chance to check that out. Maybe you can put some earbuds in when you've had enough together time with family. Like, well, I'm going to be over here and listening to this. So anyway, I do hope you get a chance to check it out. I'll try to have something up for you. There is no rest for the weary here at Radio Albion. We're going to continue to have some sort of content up for y'all. Well, and again, today obviously is no exception. Of course, before we get rolling, I always like to remind you, we do have our Sven Longshank Sport links here up on the Daily Nationalist show. It's right there. Mail, email, different ways you can send your support or drop a note, Sven. I've been encouraging everybody to send Christmas cards. Even if you're going to be late, you're one of those late Christmas card senders, try to drop something in the mail, because it'll mean just as much to them if it's, you know, gets there by Christmas or not. I'm sure it'll mean a lot to him. I'm sure he'll appreciate the sentiment and knowing that even though we're out here in the free, we're not forgetting him who is not so fortunate. As we look at the world in its just degenerating state here in the West, particularly, and how, you know, as we live in the declining and collapsing empire, and we see all these different facets of how things are just, you know, coming apart, and the nature of these things. And of course, obviously, I'm a Christian believer, and I see the spiritual aspect in it. And one of the things I find humorous is when people, you know, try to, how do I want to put this? They try to attribute everything to money. You know, they try to point out, oh, well, this is the money, you know, this is because of the money. And money factors in, true. It's kind of the God of the West now, the false God, but the God of the West now. But I'll see people, and you see things that are obviously, from a Christian point of view, they're obviously satanic. And there's always, you could see this spiritual motivation, and it's basically the only motivation there could be. And yet you'll still have people who will try to attribute everything to money. Oh, well, they're doing this for money. It's just because they're going to somehow make money on it. Today's story is one of those cases where I don't know how you would find a way to attribute anything to this besides a spiritual motivation, a satanic spiritual motivation. The story today comes from RT, and the headline is, West trying to impose immorality on Uganda. Activists, with a subheading here of, the U.S. is attempting to pressure the African country into accepting obscenity and indecency, Martin Simpa has told RT. Uganda is facing significant external pressure due to its anti-LGBT legislation, pastor and activist Martin Simpa told RT in an exclusive interview on Saturday. He claimed the U.S. in particular was deploying economic measures in an attempt to force the African nation to change its stance. How refreshing is it to hear of somebody who is an activist, somebody who is framed in the context of being an activist, and they're an activist for something decent, for something that's right. We're so acclimated in the U.S. and in the West that activists are always antisocial. They're always activists for tearing down society. Every activist in the U.S., every activist in the West is always an activist towards destroying tradition, destroying morality, destroying the fabric of society, destroying the family, destroying people's morality, and ultimately destroying people's soul. How refreshing is it to hear of somebody who's described as an activist who's actually standing up for what is right and refusing to go along with that which is wrong? Is very refreshing, and it's very humbling when you consider where this is happening. People, by their human nature, always want to make excuses for groups they associate with. And I refuse to do that. I believe I try to strive for truth. I'm not going to say I always get it right, but I do strive for truth. As a Christian believer, we have to be willing to be critical of what is passing for the church today. Now, I joke and you know, talk about atheist Spurgs and stuff like that. But at the same time, I will be the first to say that, of course, people are turning away from Christianity. Look what the church is doing in the U.S. Look how the church is represented in the U.S. Look what is, by and large, passes as a church. Of course, it's worth mocking. Of course, people are going to mock that. Of course, people are not going to want to have anything to do with it. These things don't come out of nowhere. And as a Christian believer, I think we have to be willing to say that and not make excuses for it. There's been an example of this is, and this kind of ties in with this story. In fact, it actually very much ties in with this story. We had these stories over the past several years where these Protestant denominations will have their large, you know, worldwide gathering. And they wind up voting on measures that basically set aside God's law, set aside morality, and they want to start down the path of continuing to normalize homosexuality on some level or another. Now, they obviously, they do it like it's been done in every other facet of society, which is step by step. Oh, well, we're going to just, you know, it's okay to bless gay unions, but we won't call it marriage yet. Of course, we all know that's what they're working up to. And this, you know, when people try to say that, oh, well, Christianity is, you know, it was always this plot to get everybody down this path. Well, you look at every other institution and how these things were destroyed step by step, and the church is no different. Christianity, well, the church, these institutions of men are no different. Christianity itself remains the same because the truth remains unchanged. I'm trying not to preach too much because that's not what we're doing here. But I'm trying to lay the example. What I'm trying to do is lay the example. You have these worldwide church denominations come together, and they're going to vote on normalizing some other facet of homosexuality. And there's been several instances that the only real significant group invited to this that stands up and refuses to go along with it are the African delegations. The African delegations are the only one. And during these church gatherings, they threaten them with what? Money. The false god of the West. They say, well, we'll pull your funding. The church tells them this, not the government. We'll get to the government doing that in this story. The same threats. It's not a coincidence. These national church assemblies will tell the African delegations, if you don't change your stance and agree to go along with this, we'll quit sending you money. And the Africans, by and large, will stand their ground and say, we don't care if you pull our money. We would not go along with this. This is immoral. This is something that should bring humility to the people present. And the people present at those gatherings, those conventions, they don't have the sense. They're so removed from truth, they don't have the sense to understand that they should be humbled by this. These African peoples were brought Christian religion that was brought to these African people. I'll get spelled out in a minute. These African peoples, Christianity was brought to them by the white man. I mean, that's just a fact. It was brought to them by the white man. It's not something they adopted organically necessarily. It was something that was brought to them. It was imported to them. It was brought to them by white Christian people in years past. And now you have a situation to where the white people have gone so far downhill and so far astray that these people who it was originally brought to, who were the students taught this by white ancestors, the descendants of the students that our white ancestors taught this to are the ones standing the ground for what is right. While everybody else is saying, oh, well, y'all need to get with the times. You Africans are being backwards. You need to get with the times. Everybody's gay now. It's the new thing. And I think it's an in-your-face thing that should bring humility when these people are the only ones standing their ground and saying, no, this is wrong. We will not go along with this. You, the people at these conventions who are standing there pounding the table threatening, well, we'll pull your funding if you don't go along to be gay. They should, if they had any self-awareness, if they had any spiritual awareness, they would feel shame. They would feel humility that these people who had to be taught this generations ago and the ones who have come along and adopted it are the ones that are holding their ground. Simpa, the founder of Straight Nation, an organization dedicated to protecting and promoting African culture and faith, stated that the West is attempting to impose, quote, immorality, obscenity, and indecency on his country. And he's not wrong. And this brings us to the question then of why. This flies in the face of those that try to attach a monetary motivation to everything that is done. Because sometimes you just can't. You say, well, they're going to use this to undermine their society so they can get their resources cheaper. Look, they could pay off the government or do something like that, like they usually do, or threaten them with military action, whatever, to steal their resources. That's what they've done in years past. There's something else going on. There's something else driving this. And you see this across the board. We've seen the pictures where in the Ukraine, the areas the Russians who've gone in and taken over, they had all this LGBT stuff in the preschools. This is a driving factor, and you cannot attach a monetary reason to it. In the West, we will sit here and look upon a nation such as Uganda and say, oh, they're so backwards. Or a bunch of African primitives. And yet, in this nation, you could have an activist group called Straight Nation, an activist organization named Straight Nation. If this was in the UK, they would be designated a hate group and maybe possible terrorism. They would all be in jail. Probably literally for some sort of thought crime, some sort of speech crime. And yet they have more freedom than that in Uganda. I should consider moving to Uganda. In particular, Uganda is under tremendous pressure because they, the U.S., have instructed the World Bank to deny us financial services after the African nation passed its Anti-Homosexuality Act earlier this year, Simpa told RT. Washington has instructed the African Growth and Opportunity Act not to do business with Uganda, because Uganda has come up with a law to stop the promotion of homosexuality, he has added. I believe one would strive to simply find a worldly explanation for this apparent and observable obsession with coercing people into doing gay anal, into doing sodomy. It's obsessive. You remember the story from a year or so back when the U.S., I believe it was Blinken, and perhaps Biden, I remember Blinken was talking about he went, every time he goes to Saudi Arabia, he brings up gay anal to the Crown Prince. And I'm sure the Crown Prince is sitting there wondering to himself, why are these people so obsessed with this? You know, imagine you sit down with a top diplomat, was supposed to be a top diplomat from what's supposed to be one of the most powerful nations on the planet. And you think you're going to sit down and talk about conflicts in the region, or perhaps business deals and things you can do where people, you and other people are going to make a lot of money. And you sit down prepared for that. And this guy wants to sit here and blather on to you about how important it is that everyone in your country partakes in gay anal. And this is you're sitting here and this person is just obsessed with rattling on. And you're going to be sitting there wondering, well, what does this have to do with anything? Why are you going on? Why is this so important to you? It's hard to attach simply some sort of worldly, logical sort of reason. There's no logic behind this obsession. And you see this anywhere. The West attacks people. The U.S. attacks nations that refuse to go along. This is like the prerequisite. This is the prerequisite to being in the Democracy Club is first you got to be pro-gay anal. And it doesn't make any sense, at least strictly from a worldly point of view. The pastor claimed the U.S. wants to ban the East African country's coffee, cotton, and copper trade if officials do not reverse their stance on homosexuality. Such actions are continuing to create the diminishing of the credibility and the respectability of the American empire, the European empire, because we increasingly are seeing it as decadent, as in need of great moral change, Simpa insisted. I think there's a tendency among people to greatly underestimate the significance of moral decay. People sit around and say, well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What matters is economics. What matters is how powerful a military you have. What matters is what kind of technological advancements you have. I really believe there's a tendency, and I'm talking on a practical manner. I'm not even preaching at you here. I believe on a practical manner, there is a tendency for people to really underestimate the power, the destructiveness of moral decay in a society. As you see this great moral decay, things fall apart. Things cannot be, doesn't matter how much money you think you can produce or how much of an army you think you can field on a battlefield when you have this level of moral decay. Speaking of this, we had a story going around earlier this week. And I think it was just so telling, so illustrative. And I'm sure y'all heard the story about the congressional staffer filming themselves doing gay anal. I'm assuming that's what was going on. It's not like I watched the video. Some sort of gay anal sex thing in the Congress building, in one of these Congress rooms. Now, it's not surprising, but what I do find illustrative, informative of this is we've had this whole thing since the January 6th thing where they've given us this narrative. I don't know how many times I've heard these Congress people, these government people, and the media talk about desecrate these people on January 6th desecrated the hallowed halls of Congress. Congress is like a church. Congress is like a cathedral. They desecrated. This is a hallowed place. This is a sacred place. It is the Congress of the United States. As if it's some sort of church, as if it's some sort of holy place. They built this up as it's a cathedral. And maybe it is some sort of cathedral of some sort to them. And it's kind of telling that it's almost just natural that, of course, they're filming themselves doing gay anal in their so-called holy place. Washington announced an expansion of its travel ban on Ugandan officials on December 4th. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken urged the government in Kampala to, quote, make concerted efforts to uphold democracy and respect and protect human rights. See, there's more of those marketing terms. I still laugh because I'll read normie articles. I read all kinds of stuff. It's the way I always like seeing where other people are coming from. I think you get a better grasp of the bigger picture when you see where other people are coming from. And I read a normie tier opinion piece the other day talking about democracy. And they were still talking about it like it has something to do with voting. They were talking about democracy, and I was amazed because obviously the person's not a stupid person. The person writing the article is well-educated, and yet they still are talking about democracy as if it has something to do about voting. But what's it have to do? Concerted efforts to uphold democracy, respect, and protect human rights. Democracy and human rights, from the standpoint of the U.S., means gay anal. It really does. I mean, Dr. Johnson here on Radio Albion, I believe the way he puts it, and I'm doing this off the top of my head, I hope I don't butcher it, but he says something about basically all democracy means is Western capital liberalism or something along that lines. And in the context of how it affects normal day-to-day people, it means gay anal. You see this obsession, and he comes out here and vomits a bunch of marketing slogans about democracy, respect, and human rights. But what about the human rights is always only applied here to gay anal. This weird obsession with forcing. They call it, they try to frame it up as being tolerant, but it really, they're trying to force it on these people. In May, Uganda enacted the Anti-Homosexuality Act of 2023, a law that allows capital punishment for aggravated homosexuality and offenses such as the transmission of HIV through gay sex. Consensual same-sex relationships are also subject to penalties of up to life in prison. The State Department imposed visa restrictions in June for those supporting the anti-LGBT legislation, claiming that anyone behind human rights violations in Uganda must be held to account. In addition, Washington has excluded Uganda from its major trade program, the African Growth and Opportunity Act. Once again, it's important to look at these things not in a vacuum. Most people read a news article like this, they'll read a news item or they see a news item and they view it isolated. But I think one of the advantages of reading a significant amount of different opinions and different amount of news stories from different sources is that you tend to get this habit of you read it in the context of these other stories that you've read on different topics. I find it quite something to read that the U.S. State Department is putting all this pressure, economic pressure. They're putting sanctions and visa restrictions on citizens of Uganda for supporting a law that honestly is a domestic law, has nothing to do with the U.S. Why? Hey, you have to wonder, why does the U.S. care? Again, why this obsession with coercing people to do this? Now, you have to look at it in the big picture. Meanwhile, Israel is bombing and killing tens of thousands of women and children in Gaza. And we're giving the U.S., I didn't get a vote on it, I didn't get a say on it. But this same government, which is putting visa restrictions on Ugandans for not doing gay anal, is sending the bombs for Israel to blow up women and kids in Gaza. In the Ukraine, they talk about Ukraine being a democracy versus autocracy, and yet they don't hold elections there. They grab people off the streets and force them into the military. It's amazing that these people, these U.S. government people, have the nerve to go around and act as though they are the moral betters of everyone else in the world. And everyone else in the world can see this. Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni has repeatedly stated that his country will not surrender its principles and independence due to intimidation. Well, good for him. No, I mean, really good for him. You've got to hold the line. I mean, we got, you look at these Western countries, you look at the U.S. today, because this is where it comes from. All this comes from the U.S. All these Western European countries and such, their policies basically originate from the U.S. They're imported by the U.S. Just as our white ancestors once brought Christianity to these African nations, the U.S. is, I keep saying they're importing them to these other countries. I should say they're exporting these other countries. All these gay anal policies in Europe came from the U.S. It's an import from the European standpoint, is imported. Just as our ancestors The Africans wound up importing Christianity from our ancestors. Europeans are basically importing this gay anal agenda from the U.S. It's all this, weird agenda. It's coming from the U.S. But we got here. How did we get here in the U.S.? And the answer is that our ancestors, those who came before, because we're here now, but those who came before us, they failed to hold the line. They let themselves, they sold out for money. They let themselves be talked into, oh, well, this is just about tolerance or whatever justifications, it doesn't matter. What matters is the end result. They failed to hold the line, and here we are today. Here we are today, wallowing in sewage as a society. Moral sewage is what we're living in. I hope people like the Ugandans can hold the line. In the short term, they're threatening them. In the short term, they're threatening them economically. They're putting visa restrictions. They're putting all sorts of pressure on these people. But if they hold the line, in the long term, they will prosper from it. Because this sort of moral decay never leads to prosperity. We see it now. See where we are now. Moral decay always leads to even further moral decay. It could be summed up like if you partake in pornography, you might start off just looking like at lewd pictures, lewd images. But the longer you indulge in that, you wind up having to look at more and more extreme forms of it to get that same. It always leads to more of it. You got to get people get into more and more degenerate forms of it, more and more extreme forms of pornography, because it never leads the opposite direction. Likewise, moral decay. You look at the moral decay of this country. Say if you just simply went back to the 1960s to today. You know, people during the 1960s, the quote unquote sexual revolution, people look at this and said, this is horrible. You know, this is immoral. And then other peoples would defend it and say, oh, well, you know, these people are just expressing their normal form of sexuality or whatever. You fast forward to today, and that practically makes the 60s look like what? I mean, it makes the 60s look almost harmless, but it's not, because you get to where we're at today from there. Does that make sense? Moral rot, moral decay is going to lead to more moral decay. It gets further out there. Like I say, I used the illustration of pornography. It's going to become more extreme. Moral decay in a society breeds even more extreme moral decay. People often simply sum this up as talking about the slippery slope, which is an easy way to understand. It's a less complicated way of saying basically the same thing I've said here. You start accepting this, but then you move on to the next thing. That's why I say it's so easy to underestimate the power that moral decay has, the destructive power. You look at it and say, but we're all still making money. We're doing okay. And you just kind of brush these moral issues, this moral decay, you put that on the back burner as if it doesn't matter. It's similar to if somebody has a giant cancer tumor eating them up inside, but they don't realize it or they just ignore it because they feel fine. I feel fine, so I'm just going to go about and act like everything's okay until one day it's not. And that is how moral decay works on a society. We can look at any number of facets of the collapsing American empire and say, well, this is not sustainable. This can't continue. But one of the things I think is easy to overlook is the unsustainability of the ever-increasing and ongoing moral decay. It can't go on. It's impossible for it to keep going. At some point in time, you hit basically a bottom. It just can't, and the whole thing falls down. It is truly a destructive power. It's just a really strange thing to look around. And you think about this. Ponder this for a moment before we close out. It's a very strange thing to read an article such as this. I'm living here in the U.S. and I've been alive for well over 50 years now. And to look around and having some years on me, I remember when things were not like this. And it is such a strange thing to look around at this society and read a story like this and to ponder the fact that when I read a story like this, I have more in common morally with these people in Uganda than I do with so much of the society that I'm living here in the country I grew up in. To read a story like this and look around at the country I grew up in and I've lived my life in, the society that I've lived in, and to realize that I have more in common with these foreign, with these African people in Uganda than I do with the country I'm living in. It's, I don't know, it's mind-boggling. It is. It just absolutely blows my mind to look around and say that's the truth of the matter. You know, morally, you know, as far as faith, my beliefs line up closer with these people in Uganda than it does with the overall morality of the United States today. I find that humbling. And I think if people were more self-aware, a lot more people would find that sort of thing humbling as well. We're going to wrap up. I hope you enjoyed. Got a chance to check out all our content we put up this week here at Radio Albion, Monday through Friday, every week. I say next week, we got Christmas on Monday. I'm going to have a show done for you. I'm going to record a show and get it set up for Monday. I know y'all are going to be busy traveling, but hey, you know, you can only listen to the radio so long. You can give you something to listen to while you drive. So be sure and try to check that out. I hope you have a great weekend. I hope you have a great Christmas. Keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.